Okay, here we are once again, Core Confidence Lifestyle Club class, lecture, presentation. I don't know what the hell I'm saying. So, I'm Dennis, Core Confidence Lifestyle. Today is numerology day, and we are talking about interpreting double-digit numbers. I actually had this topic set to be something else, but I tossed it away. Interpreting double-digit numbers is what we're going to be talking about today. And that's it's a coincidence, just as a side note. You know, somebody that was in here before during one of the classes, Soul Coach, he's actually talking about something similar later on.
Didn't you guys do that last week too?
Yeah, like we kind of think alike. Yeah. Yeah, that's synchronicity interesting right there. All right. So just as a preliminary here, we are here. At the top of the page, you see the website, coreconfidencelife.com. And so that over there is where you can hear old class lessons and presentations that you missed. You can also join our newsletter where you can get all kinds of articles and astrology, numerology stuff, things like that. And we also welcome donations around $17. So, and if you want to come on and get questions answered about your number chart, you know, we asked for that donation as well, and we'll go over that again during a break. So, yeah. Hi, Christina.
Hello, Mr. Dennis.
Hi there. Now, I know that you have a huge thing, you have a huge fetish for astrology, but have you given any kind of a damn about numerology lately?
No, not really.
Should I even have that on the recording?
I don't know.
Oh boy. But yes.
You warn me next time and I'll come up with something to say.
Okay. We keep it real here at Core Confidence Life. That's right. We do. We keep it mad real. And so we've done numerology before, and we've talked a lot about the life path number, which is what we're going to be talking about today, along with some other numbers I have in mind. So the life path number is that one-digit number that symbolizes our life path. Now, we did talk about that's not the only number involved in your chart. We've got the two parts of your number chart, as we spoke about in a previous lesson. The two parts of your number chart, that is the life path side and the expression side. We did talk about that in a past lesson, so please see website for past lessons, or I guess if you're on Clubhouse, you can look at my profile. But a lot of questions come up about master numbers and double digit numbers and angel numbers and all these things. So that is going to be what we are going to address today, because we're dealing with multiple digit numbers and how to break that down. We're going to mainly focus on life path and things like that, but we can throw in some angel numbers if people want to as well. So this is also going to take me through the procedures on how to add up your birthday. I thought about this, and when I said we're going to talk about this topic, oh, I'm going to talk about double digit numbers. And then I said, oh boy, I've got to address that age old question. What is the proper way to add up your birthday? Oh boy. Ooh. Because so many people do it in different ways. Different numerologists have different ways of adding up the numbers. And of course I have my way. So what is the right way to add up the numbers? Do you do them across? Do you reduce them first and then add them? Or do you add them as whole numbers and blah, 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 blah? And I give an answer that nobody likes. All methods are valid. Everybody hates that answer. Everyone hates that answer. Yeah. Just like when they go on astrology, oh, what house system is correct? Is it Placidus or is it whole sign? And I say both. And they go,
oh, I don't care about that answer. I always discredit it because you use whole sign. So I just pretend that you're telling me whole sign.
Oh, so you have a loophole for that one, huh?
Yeah. But yeah. Numerology, I don't like your answer because I don't have a loophole yet. So I have to learn like what your preference is, and then I'll just like pretend it's that.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason why numerology, all numbers, all ways of adding up the numbers is correct is because it's your birthday and every number plays a role. Like last time we talked about the face of your birthday, the actual digits before you do anything with them, and how each one of those numbers plays a role in your life path and in your default personality. And so the same thing comes with what I call your life path stack, where every method of adding up your number will give you a different double digit number. And all those numbers factor in to your life path personality stack. So that's my opinion. However, there are two primary ways I like to look at adding up the numbers, because those two ways gives you even more information than just your life path. And I consider those two ways the primary ways that you reach your accurate life path number, therefore the accurate double digit number representing the base number, right? So let's take a birthday. So what birthday should we take? Sometimes I don't want to use mine, but I guess we can do that. So let's take, I don't like using mine because there's a master number in there, but why don't we use yours, Christina? Okay. What's your birthday? That's Christina?
You don't know my birthday, Mr.
But I don't want to be the one to say it. I think people should say their own info.
10/23/2000.
Okay. Oh, all right. Oh, that's a nice number. Okay.
No, it's not. There's too many zeros.
Too many zeros. We'll talk about zeros too. So when I address, after we go through how to add up your birthday, then we'll talk about the base numbers 0 through 9, because you're going to need that base numbers to understand how to interpret the multiple digit numbers. All right. So we've got 10/23/2000. So the two ways I look at this, which comes up with a lot more information than just your life path. The first way I look at how to add up those numbers will give us not only your life path number, but it will also give us your three life stage numbers, because your month, day, and year represent your three life stage numbers. So when you take your month and reduce it to a single digit, and your day and reduce it to a single digit, and your year and reduce it to a single digit, you'll have your three stages of your life. And when you add those three stages together, you get your life path number. I think it makes sense. I think it's a cute little pattern. So in this case, October, that's 10. So that's 1. 23 is 5. And 2000 is 2. So we know that Christina's broad three stages of life is 1, 5, and 2. And so we can add that together. All right. And then we get 8. So her life path is 8. Because a life path is made up of those three broad life stages. And so that is the default way that I use to add up birthdays, because it actually, to me, makes sense. It gives you your life stage numbers, and they go together to make your life path number. So that's what I do. Also, another way of looking at adding up your numbers, it will give you what's called your karmic year. And some numerologists who really go deep and practice ancient numerology, this is the default method they use. And they call your life path number gotten by this method as your pure number, right? So taking the same birthday, 10/23/2000, you add them up as they are. So you have 2000 and you add 23 to that, you get 2023. Adding 10 to that, you get 2033. So that doubles as your life path number, because you reduce those numbers, 2033, that's 8. And then 2033 is a karmic year for Christina. Now, of course, at the time of this recording, it's not 2033. But when you find out your karmic year, that will be a key year in your life. A key year in your life, which is my karmic year is 2000, interestingly enough. And that actually was an interesting screwed up year in my life. Okay. So any questions about those two methods? Because I know when it gets to numerology, numbers and mathematical formulas start flying. And I know that that can be a deterrent for some people. So are there any questions?
Is there a reason why different numerologists think that it's better to do it one way versus the other one? Like, do they ever say anything about that? Like, oh, I think we should do it this method because, or like vice versa?
You know, that's a very interesting question. I've actually not seen a reasoning why. It's actually an ongoing debate between a lot of numerologists on how to do that. The ancient ones, the ones I think, who's this person that sometimes I don't think he's been in this room, but he's on Clubhouse. Antoine, he does it the karmic way, where I just did where you can find out your karmic year. Mm-hmm. I've always done it where you break down your three broad phases and then put them together. I like both, but the ones that added up based on the face, digit by digit by digit, I've never heard them say a reason why. But that's why I think all of them are valid, because when I look at my birthday and I add them up, there's actually more than three ways to add them up. But I don't want to go off into a rabbit hole. But when I look at all the methods that you can use to add up your birthday, and I get to those double digit numbers that we'll be talking about, all of them resonate because they all have a role in my path and behavior, because they're all derived from my birthday, which gives you the life path. So I think all of those numbers are valid, which is why I call it the life path stack. Mm-hmm. So if you add up my birthday one way through the face, looking at the digit, add up 1 + 2 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 9 + 9. If you do it that way, you get 29. Right? If you do it another way, you get 2000. If you do it another way, you get 20. And there's another way we haven't discussed, in which you reach 47. And so all those numbers come from the same birthday. And they all count in the life stack, life path stack. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, 47 resonates with me like a motherfucker. So you make every number a double digit number. So what? I know all the math is flying around. I know people get, okay. So you do what I did, take the whole number of December, for example, for me is 12, and then you take the whole number 11, and then you make 1977 into a double digit number, which in this case would be 24. And so then you add 12 plus 11 plus 24. So that's another way of doing it. So there's a few methods of breaking down your birthday. And so to me, having done this, I think all of those methods bring you to a number that is relevant in your life path. Mm-hmm. However, the one I use most often are the two ones that I just explained, the one where it reveals your three life phases and the one that it also reveals your karmic year. Mm-hmm. So those are the two ones I use, but there's two or three or four other ways.
Maybe five, maybe six, who knows?
Maybe 10,000. Right. So any other questions about that? That's interesting.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Taking a sip of water.
I feel like you're going to talk to me about numerology more now, specifically because I ask more questions. So I feel like you're going to be like, oh, okay, so this is the topic that we go for.
Yeah, I like the questions because it gets me to clarify. And I know, like I said, I know I'm a broken record, but sometimes math can be, you know, daunting to people. And there's a lot of numbers flying around. This plus that. And then you do this, you carry this, and you do this, and then you got to memorize the meaning. Yeah. And I can see it. So I want to make sure, because we're designed to be basic. We'll do some advanced stuff, but we're designed to be basic. Okay. So I also want to go over the meanings of each of the numbers, because it's important that we stay conscious of the meanings of the base numbers before we start putting them all together, you know, because when we put them all together, we're combining things, sort of like astrology. When you start talking about the aspects, you know, the conjunction, you've got to combine the two energies. Even if those two energies don't necessarily get along with each other, they're still combined. It's a conjunction. So in numerology, when you look at double digit numbers, those two energies are combined. Even if those energies are incongruent to each other, it's too bad, they're combined. So it's important you understand at least, you know, the basics of each of those numbers as standing as individuals. because a double digit number is really the interpretation of three numbers. You're interpreting the base number and the two other digits.
Oh, so like if it's like 33 or something, then you take like the 33 and then you take, I mean, I guess bad example because it's double numbers, but you'd take like both of the threes as like individual things.
Yeah, and you would take the 6 because 33 is a 6. So you would consider the 6, which is the primary number. That's what all the other numbers are there to serve, is the 6 in this scenario. And the 3s is how it carries it out. So you have to understand the 6, which is the purpose of the 33, is the 6. And then how the 3s carry that job out. And if it's incompatible, well, then that's where the difficulties come in. Just like I said, one of the things that resonated with me, you know, is, you know, 47. 47 is just an 11, and 11 is a 2. So how does the 2-11 carry out its duties through a 47? Now they have to deal with the 2, the 11, and then the 47, you know, because it's a master number 11. So we'll get into all that. So we're going to start from 0 and go to 9. So just quickly, as a review, 0 is an intensifier number. It intensifies whatever thing it's touching. So if there's zeros there, there's going to be an intensification. Think of 0 as all or nothing, intense or nothing. Every decision is crucial or every decision is inconsequential. It's a 0. It's a portal. It represents Pluto. And if you have a 0 in your challenge number area, you could have a very easy time during that stage, or you can have every decision be life or death. If you've got a 0 in your double digits before you reach your base number life path, that is an intensifier of those qualities. So in one of my numbers in my life path stack, you get to a 20. And putting the 0 next to a 2 just intensifies the 2. So a 0 is an intensifier, and think of Pluto, you know, all or nothing. Number 1 is represented by the sun, and that is the initiatory energy, the leader, the boss, the primary masculine energy, all of that. And so think of the sun when you think of that, and, you know, Aries Leo combo there. The 2 is the moon, you know, the primary feminine energy, the moon. Think of Cancer Libra combo. Think of the moon, balance, compromise, relationships, negotiation. That's the 2. The three is the primary child. It is the product of 1 and 2, father, mother, baby. And think of Jupiter as 3, freedom of expression, you know, doesn't want to be restricted, no holds bars, lucky, artistic, expressive. Think about that 3. 4, ooh, 4 is complicated, isn't it? It's structure and routine. You know, think about many things. Think about Uranus, right? But you can also think about Taurus. You can also think about the concept of being square. The 4 is organized, routine, likes what it likes, and is disciplined. 5 is in the middle of everything. It represents Mercury. All right. Think Gemini. Likes to go lots of places, knowledge, variety, you know, freedom. Doesn't like to be held down. A little bit chaotic, you know. Watch it for that 5. Right? 6, that is the number of balance and romance and home, family. Think of Venus when you think of 6. Think of motherhood and family and romance and home responsibilities and working for what you get. That's 6.
Hi.
7. Think of 7 as Neptune. Think of it as kind of Piscean. Think of it as withdrawn, spiritually in touch, psychic, scientific. Think about that 7. 8. 8. Hey, I ate dinner last night. 8 represents Saturn. Think about that Saturn. Think about Capricorn. What does all that mean? Discipline, material gain, doing something with goals in mind, you know, organized, disciplined, has a capacity for both materialism and spiritualism. You got that two circles on the eight. Nine is that transcendent number, is at the end of the number line. Think about Mars, but think about a Scorpio type Mars. More Scorpio, more intense, more self-sacrificing, more giving, more willing to sacrifice themselves for a relationship, more deep and spiritual and humanitarian, you know, and kind. So think about all of that. And so, yeah, think about those numbers. Keep all that in mind, right? When we talk about double numbers. So are there any questions around that?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yeah, only because we've talked about those like a lot.
A billion times. Okay. So the first thing before we get into mixing the numbers, this is a good opportunity to talk about master numbers. Now, master numbers can show up anywhere in your number chart, whether it be on the life path side or the expression side. On the life path side, master numbers, usually it's mathematically possible to get to 55 on your life path side using your birthday. I think it's mathematically possible. But the majority of people aren't going to, you're not going to be able to get a life path number above 33 for the majority of people. Every now and then you see a 44. But doing it the one of the conventional ways of adding up your birthday, if you do it that way, the three phase way of doing it, you're not really going to get above 55. You'd have to do some other things. On your expression side, you can get any double digit number, any life path master number from 11 to 99. Because now we're dealing with names, we're dealing with a wider range of possibilities and all that. So the reason why the double digit, the double numbers are master numbers is because it's giving the double energy. It's magnifying the number that it is. So the most common master number is 11. And so the 11 is the double one, but it's also a two. So this is where we start combining the meanings of the double digits. And I think looking at the master numbers gets us off easy because it's a double, it's the same. So take the qualities that you know about two, and then think about the qualities you know about one. So it's the two trying to carry itself out through the double one. And so that might seem difficult because one is about leadership and initiative and about being first, but two is about emotion and partnership and relationship. And so there's going to be some sort of a tug of war inside the someone who has prominent 11 in their chart, because it is the two trying to accomplish itself through the double one. And so that's the typical masculine and feminine pull. That's the typical, you know, depression and self-doubt, because you got these two strong energies fighting against each other. So if the person carrying that strong 11 is able to master that inner tug of war, and they're able to master moving past their own barriers, sometimes self-imposed, they become the master channel, teaching people how to live by living. So just think about the two having to do its job by using the one. But you don't lose the two, because two is the main purpose of 11. But it's 11, so it has to also satisfy those ones. So any questions about that?
No. Sounds like a lot of energy to try to work with, though.
It does. But we're all working with double-digit energy, all of us.
Yeah, but I feel like the master numbers are a little bit more difficult just because, like, I don't know, you have more of like one number, and as we've talked about before, too much of one number is an overwhelming potential sometimes.
Yes, that's true. But whereas, let's pick a random number. We'll get there, but I'm picking it at random. If you're a life path 9, you know, obviously it's going to be different if you're an 18-9 versus a 27-9, we'll get there. But I think your point is that because it's three different numbers, you think it's easier than
I
having
think
like
they spread out a little bit more, you know? Like they're focused on different areas, but if it's like two of the same number, they're both going to be focused on the same thing. So I feel like there's more of a pull towards one specific energy that you have to try to, I guess, learn how to compartmentalize. Whereas if it's two different numbers, it's a little bit more spread out, if that makes sense. Like it's one energy specifically.
Yeah, I definitely understand. And just like the other master number 22, the master builder, this may seem easier because the 22 is a four. So it's there as a four. It's one, it needs to carry out four duties, but it's a 22 master number. And so it's got the double moon. It's using the four, but it's using the double moon. And so that could work in its favor. In some ways, a 22 might be able to accomplish itself a little easier because two and four don't necessarily conflict, and four can be helped out by the double two's heightened intuition. But what makes the 22 hard as a master number is because it's a four. Four is organized. Four is steadfast. It's organized. It doesn't really like mushy emotions. It doesn't really like all of this other crap. But that double two, once you put that double two there, now it's for its intuition is heightened. Now it's going to start doing a couple of things that are more self-sacrificing because it's more, now it's instinctual. Now it's trying to help you through the four's practicality and through the two's nurturing. And so for a master builder four, it can be difficult. They may give too much of themselves, even if it doesn't make practical sense. It's hard to kind of balance that emotion with non-emotion. I want to be there for you versus I need to be practical. Like it looks easy because two and four are compatible, but trying to carry your four through a double two, can be hard, but it's great potential because the four and a two can combine to make that master builder using the practical instincts and the intuitive senses, using that four organization and the two intuition to build masterpieces and create success. So, there's that for the 22. So, and it goes on down the line. You look at the base number of every master number, and it'll tell you which journey. The six's journey is to try to carry out its home, family, moral values, and love and all that stuff through a double three.
Ugh. And you got all the, like, yearning for freedom and like self-expression and like fun times and like do whatever, but then you got that like let's create this family and do all these things.
Yeah, it's and I've been around a couple of 33s. It's hard. A lot of 33s, it's a tough road for 33s. A lot of them, it's hard for them to balance that six with those double threes. It's great for artists because six is artistic and threes are artistic, you know? So and sixes make great musicians and threes are great, you know, people who just want to express. So it could make for great artists. Threes also seek higher spiritual knowledge that can help the six further tap into it. And so that's why the 33 is called the master teacher. If it can use its qualities of, you know, responsibility and balance and use its qualities of freedom of expression and the accumulation of spiritual knowledge, if it can kind of get the best of those worlds, that's why it becomes a master teacher. But life, master life paths are not easy. There's not a lot of people that can be the master teacher. And so what happens when a master number can't deal with the master energy, they end up being the base number. So sometimes 33s are living in their six, 22s are living in their four, and 11s are living in their two. And it goes on up the line. Eights have to accomplish what they need to through double fours. Ones have to accomplish what they need to through double fives. On up the scale, threes have to accomplish their things through double sixes and on up the line. On the life path side, you're not really going to see much above 33 when it comes to master numbers. Sometimes you'll see a 44. On the expression side, you'll see everything to 99. So, but yeah, those are the master numbers. And why master numbers are so difficult, because even the numbers that look like they should get along, like 4 and 2, when you start putting it in that master level, it's a tough road to hoe, you know? You know, Joe Blow, Ho, Stow, Yo, Ew. Any questions?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Fine. Be that way.
You know what?
Now, interpreting double-digit numbers that are not master numbers. Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So, every number, every life path-based number is what it is. But every 9 is not the same. Every 8 is not the same. Every 2 is not the same. Every 5 is not the same. As you're reducing your numbers in your birthday, no matter what method you're using, you can use the karmic year method. You can use the 3-phase method. You can use the face method. You can use whatever method you want. Before you reach the final single digit, you will come across a double digit. You will come across, because 2 digits make 1. Woo-hoo. So you're going to come across a double digit. Those double digits are the most prominent digits that influence the base number. So if you are a life path 9, that's nice. But what 2 numbers went to make up that 9? You can do it with an 18. You can do it with a 27. You can do it with a 36. If you're a 5, well, okay, how'd you make up that 5? Oh, you could be a 14-5, which is a karmic number. Actually, we should talk about karmic numbers first too, right? You can be a 23-5, you could be a 32-5. And if you think 23 and 32 are the same, ha! Mm-hmm. Oh, it's 3 and it's 2. It's just the other way around. It ain't the same.
Wait, I have a question. Is there like... dependent on which number is first, does that have anything to do with like which one will be more?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's why 23 and 32 are not the same. Mm-hmm. That's right. So you could be that. You could be a 41-5, and 41 is not a karmic number, but 14 is, because 41 is different. So there you go. Oh, speaking of karmic numbers, let's talk about karmic numbers, because we're talking about difficult numbers to have. Master numbers is one set of difficult numbers to have. You know, it's funny. There was a phrase, and I've heard it a few times, and this goes for human design too, but it goes also for numerology. It goes, everybody wants to be a master number except master numbers.
I don't know, because even hearing about it, I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound like a fun time.
No, people hear, oh, I want to be a master number, because master numbers are elevated. They're dealing with higher octaves and they're spiritual. And so people tend to kind of romanticize spirituality.
People romanticize whatever they're not, though.
But they don't understand that people who are put here to be of a higher spiritual vibration are gonna have roads that are tough to get them to move into that.
The grass is always greener on the other side, Mr. Dennis.
It is. And I have an 11 there in my instinct spirit gift number, whatever people want to call the birth date number. You know, people just make up their terms. So all right.
What's the weird one that you found?
What's a weird one?
I don't know. There was like a weird name for it that we were like, how the hell did they even come up with that? I don't remember what it was, but they called the number something, the birthday number. What was it? It was like, dang it, I don't know. I'll probably remember after this, but.
Yeah, probably when the recordings are all off and I'm already tucked away in bed, you'll call me at 3 o'clock in the morning going, I thought of it, I thought of it, I thought of it. That's right. But that's what goes on here around the Core Confidence Life offices. We just don't give a damn. All right. So, karmic numbers. Now, I don't know how Please don't ask me how they came up with these karmic numbers as opposed to other karmic numbers. But 13, 14, 16, 19 are said to be karmic numbers. Now, I don't know why 15, 17, and 18 are not. I don't know. Or 12. I don't know. Maybe I'll research that. How come 13 is a karmic number but not 15? I'm telling mommy.
I'm sure there's a book.
I'm sure there's a book. So, number 13. Why is 13 a karmic number? A karmic number usually means that there's a lesson you have to learn in this life. And the lesson you have to learn in this life is because you was a creepazoid in your previous life. Right? There's some unfinished business. There's some lessons left over that you have to be able to integrate into this life in order to solve your karmic debt. You naughty boy, you. All right. So why is 13 a karmic number? Because 13 contradicts the base number that it is. Hmm.
Oh, because it's a 3 and the...
It is a 1-3, but it makes a 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually, you know, odd and even numbers don't necessarily mesh well. But you got the 4, which is all about balance and organization and discipline and steadfastness and things. But now it's got to carry itself out through the 13. The 1 and the 3, both, you know, both open. One is kind of like, you know, can be a little arrogant, can be a little bossy, can be, you know, too initiatory. The three tends to be very expressive, lacking discipline. And so you got the 13 there. And so the 4's lesson is to learn how to meld being disciplined with being free. And so in a previous life, supposedly, they abused their power. And they were undisciplined, and they were disorganized. And so now in this life, they have to learn how to work with the 13 as a 4. Because the nature of the 13, the 1 and the 3, is contradictory in many ways, not every single way, but in many ways to the 4. Mm-hmm. So the 4 is the primary purpose of the number. And then the next thing in line, it has to go through the 3 because it goes from the second number into the first. So it's 4, and then the 4 has to move its energy through the 3, and the 3 has to move it then through the 1. Now, moving 3 to 1 is pretty cool, pretty interesting. They kind of go together, but it's all serving the 4's purpose. So the 4 has to, the 13, 4 has a karmic debt to repay and to learn about organization, discipline, you know, not abusing its power, all of these kinds of things. So that's not true for the 22-4. They have a different setup because it's double twos. It's not the contradictory 13. It's a compatible 2, just the intensified energy of that, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's not the same. Pick any other random 4. You know, maybe 31-4 is slightly different. I'm not saying it's an easy number, but the 30s series, generally speaking, is a lucky series. The number 30 to 39. That's kind of a really good, upbeat, lucky series. The 40s aren't that much of a lucky series, but we look at that as because of the lead number. But with the teens, a lot of the lessons around having a whole number in the teens is learning how to balance whatever the base number is with a sense of yourself, arrogance, over exaggeration. And so 4 has to learn how to tame that 13 and make it balanced.
Mm-hmm. I'll be right back. I'm still listening. Yeah. My family decided to get home like 20 minutes early.
All right, cool.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. So the similar things happen with 14 because 14 is 5. So you got the 5. They want freedom of freedom, going everywhere. I get to do everything I want. 5, remember, 5, a chaotic 5 can be It's risked to have addictions. It has some discipline problems, but it's very smart and eclectic and travels a lot and has a lot of different experiences. You know, but if it's a 14-5, now you kind of have the opposite of the 4. So now it's 5, freedom-loving 5, but now it has to work through the 14. So the 4 is saying, yo, let's kind of be more disciplined and deliberate about things. Let's kind of ground ourselves, you know? And the 1, of course, is a teen series. It's about, you know, let's stand out. Let's be the leader. And so now the 5 has to figure out how to create balance out of its chaos. It's got the karmic debt of being irresponsible and having to find balance out of their messiness, of some of their addictions, possibly some of their compulsions that they have, some of their need to be around constant stimuli. But a 14-5's karmic thing is around learning how to tame all of that. I mean, fives can do that, can benefit from that anyway. But there's some whole numbers that are more supportive of the five's mission. This is a 14-5. So this is a little different. Now, I don't know why 15 is not a karmic number. But the 6 and the 15, the 6 now has to express itself through the 15. So it kind of goes on up like that. So when you look at how to interpret the base number through the double digits, you look at the base number, that is the majority of the purpose of the double digit, is the base number. The double digit number is the slave to the base. There is no, you know, 15 is 6. That's just it. 1 and 5 are 6. 2 and 4 are 6. 2 and 5 are 7. That's it. The primary number has the dominant purpose in those number configurations. But it still has to go through the two double digits and it can, the two numbers. And it can be easy, like a 27-9. That's pretty supportive. It can be pretty easy. A 9 is already humanitarian. It's already open and giving. You know, and then you have this 27, a nice blend of spirituality, instinct, connection to psychic ability. You know, a 27-9 can accomplish its nineness with good ease. Of course, it's a more sensitive 9. It's a more spiritual 9. You know, so it's even more prone to self-sacrifice. It's because it's a 9 moving through 7, Pisces, intuition, spirituality, moving through the leader 2, the moon, instincts, sensitivity. So a 27-9 has the support to kind of be, you know, versions of what it's supposed to be. But an 18-9, now it's got to be a 9, but now it's going through the 8. Practical, you know, hardcore, making material moves, you know, and that's a little tougher for the 9. So it's just different. 36-9 is even more different because you got the 9 energy, but now you've got the home family energy, then you got the freedom of expression energy. That has to be carried out along with that 9. So just check out your double digits and see how supportive it is of your single digit. And you notice that all these series have different vibrations to it. The 2 series is an instinctive series, like the 20s. The 3 series tends to be luckier and more upbeat and optimistic. So a 29-11 is not going to be as upbeat and optimistic and relaxed as a 38-11. So, any questions?
Nope. I don't like 23, though. That's a gross number.
What's wrong with 23?
2 and 3 are, like, opposites. kind of.
Yeah, but you know what? I was in this room with a bunch of other numerologists one day, and we were talking about attitude numbers. And I said, yeah, I got a 5 attitude number. Oh, you got a 23-5. Like, don't deny that 23. 23 apparently is a good number to make up a 5. Because look at what you have here, like a 5, which is freedom and variety. And then it's got the 3. So it supports that 5. 3 is lucky. 3 is freedom. 3 just embraces life and says and does what it really feels. And then the 2, which is the intuition. It's the sensitivity. It's the intuition. And so a 23-5 can be, it does have the capacity, in my opinion, to be optimistic, to be creative, to be eclectic, to be intuitive, to have decent judgment. Now, the 23-5, you know, it can be a little undisciplined because you got the 5 and the 3, and it can be a little bit undisciplined. It can sink into maybe some habitual behaviors, but I think 23 is a nice blend for a 5 to work through.
Interesting. I believe there was a question in the chat, Dennis.
Oh, Leslie. Okay. Oh, okay. Is someone else able to do it? Because I can't do 5 things. So,
oh, I can read it out loud if you like.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So he asks, how do you know when to go by the 2-digit number as opposed to the single digit sum of the 2?
You go by them both all the time. So when you are interpreting your life path number, you if you want to really get deep into the meaning of your individual number as it's unique to someone else with the same number, that's when you look at the double digit number. And so you go by, I mean, I guess it sounds weird to say go by both, but the double digit number is what makes up the single. So if you're a life path 7, but you know that that's made up of 25, then you'll know what type of 7 you are, you know? So, and that's different than, let's say, if you're a 34-7, that has a different vibe. So look at the double digit number, see, you know, what you can interpret from the double digit number based on your knowledge and everything, and kind of apply that when looking at your life path. I don't know if that, hope that answers the question. If it does, that's cool. What's up?
Yeah, so I was saying, yeah, it did. I mean, when you said it's both, I mean, you was like, I don't really want to say, but that made perfect sense to me for it to be both. Because I was like, so what? If I don't like what 21 come up to, I'm supposed to, you know what I mean? I just go to 3. You know, it's like, it was seeming like arbitrary to me until you just said go by both, because the one makes up the other anyway.
Yes. You know, that is the insides. Like, you can look at these double digit numbers and other larger numbers that you come across when you get to your life path as like your insides. Like, okay, I'm a 3, but what kind of 3? Am I a 12? Am I a 30? Am I something else? Am I 128? So, yeah. So I'm glad that made sense, and because that is the real answer, is it is both, because one makes up the other.
All right. So how you deal with the, like, when you're doing the life path, you know, trying to get use your life path number, which method do you use? Because I've been told, you know, you use the century and the year. And the other time they just use the year you was born. So like sometimes it'd be 1975, and the other time somebody say just use 75. So how you know which time, what do you, and that's how you go, is that arbitrary, or you just pick, you do both with that? Because I get 2 different numbers when I do it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I use the complete 1975, I get 1. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If I use just 75, I'm going to get 18, which is will come out to be 9.
Yeah. You use the full year. I don't know who would tell someone not to use the full year. That's interesting. That's the first time I've heard a numerologist tell someone not to use a full year. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I don't know. I heard something. So yeah, you use the full year. Yeah, that's cool. That's all right. So you use the full year. You don't leave out the 19 in 1975. You don't leave out the 20. Because I hear people go, oh my God, it's 2222, which it's not. But earlier they were saying, it's 2222. Oh, that means something. It's all twos. I'm like, if you're talking numerology, it's not 2222. It's 2222. You use all the numbers. You know, so your 1975 is what it is. So if you got a one from that, then your life path won.
All right.
Yeah. That other thing, that drop in the 19, I don't think that's a way you find your life path number. Now, there's a use for the final two digits of your year, but that is not how you don't leave off the century part.
You would lose so much significance.
Yeah, that 19 operates in your energy code like everything else does.
Yeah. Well, I noticed though one thing, at least for me though, but when I drop off the 19, I get a different number. You know what I mean? And that number shows up everywhere. I know I wind up with my whole birthday. I wind up with it being 6. My son's birthday is, you know what I mean? But just the month and the day adds up to 6. My daughter's month and day add up to 6. The mother, her day is 11/22, and that add up to 6. So, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to piece all this, some of this stuff together, because it's like I got 6s everywhere, but my life path is 1. And now, you know what I mean? Only way I get 6 is by, you know, going that direction.
All right. So do you get 6 by leaving off the year totally? Are you just talking about your month and your day?
Yeah. If I do month, day, and the year, but the month and the day is 6, and the 75 is 6. 321. And then 75. My first middle and last name have 6 letters. All 3 have 6 letters in them.
Okay. You know. I see where you're going. So here's something that I just mentioned this a second ago, talking about the attitude number. What you are doing by using your birth month and day, what you're actually calculating is what's called your attitude number. So you actually are calculating a real number in your code. It's just your attitude number. It's not your life path. So what your attitude number is, that plays a role on how you are perceived by others and your outlook on the world. It's almost like an ascendant in astrology, almost. And so sometimes if your attitude number is not kind of the same, not the same, but gets along, I guess, with your life path number, you could give off the wrong impression to people. You know, because people are seeing your attitude number, because that's the filter in which you're looking at people and things like that. So you're getting a 6 if you use your birth month and day by itself. So it doesn't surprise me that you're around a bunch of other attitude 6s. It wouldn't surprise me if you resonate with the number 6, because that's part of you. So yes, all those 6s, they are what they are. And your name comes out to 666. Okay. Well, then you've got 6 energy in your life a lot. And so you probably, even if you're a 1 life path, there's probably lots of vibrations of home, family, children, responsibility, all these 6 themes. They're probably running throughout your life, even if you're not a 6 life path.
Yeah, they are. Like you mentioned that. Yeah. Just a question off the cuff. Have you ever study any of the 5% information, any of that stuff, when they talk about the supreme mathematics and those meanings of the numbers?
You know, me and my brother, or is it the right way, my brother and I, for all you language police. So my brother and I was just talking about that, about this 5% of thing. So I don't know the meanings they assign to numbers. Now, if it's similar to numerology, that's fine. I don't know, but I actually don't know their formula. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I studied a little bit because my roommate was from Jersey, so he was, you know, he got into studying the lessons, and so being his roommate, you know, I was reading stuff and everything with him. But in the supreme mathematics, 6 means equality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I look at that as saying, okay, well, I was born on the equinox, which is, you know, equal day, equal night. And my favorite number is 2. So, you know, you take one and cut it in half, you're going to have 2 equal pieces, right? So still, it's still equal.
See, I suspect that all these number systems, they all mean, the numbers all mean. So let me ask you, do you know some of the other numbers in the in this formula? Because 6 being equality, to me, that doesn't contradict what 6 is in numerology. It's balance.
Right.
It's give and take. It's the sextile in astrology. What you put in is what you get out.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, I know the numbers. I know the meanings of the numbers, so I try to put that together sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, but I just think about it in a different way. Like you were saying, 13 and or 31. All right. So, you know, 1 is knowledge, 2 is wisdom, 3 would be understanding. So, you know, me, that 13 would be knowledge and understanding, which pretty much is the same thing for the most part. You know what I mean? Once you apply your knowledge, you have understanding.
That's right. But I don't see that as a contradiction. I think it's the same thing. I'm glad you're saying this, because the 3 is about spiritual knowledge. The 3, it's Jupiter. It's a Sagittarian, Piscean type Jupiter. It seeks spiritual knowledge. It pursues spiritual knowledge, that 3. So, of course, it's going to reach a level of understanding because that's what it's seeking.
Right. Right. Just like, And water, that's what water does. It seeks its own level.
Yeah. So no, that's cool. I'm glad that you said that. And I just thought about that last night when I was having this conversation. I said, you know, I don't know what they mean when they start talking about these numbers in the 5%, but I bet you it's not that different from numerology, because the numbers are what they are. The numbers are symbols. Symbols hold power. They hold the whole spiritual power, different shapes. That's what numbers and letters are shapes. So it would be shocking to me if they had a different system for the numbers, because the numbers are universal. The numbers themselves don't change. The vibe of the numbers don't change. So they may use different words for what I'm discussing, but I'm willing to bet, and from what I'm hearing from you, it's pretty much the same thing using different words.
Yeah.
I don't know that for a fact, though.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was just saying, could you wind up thinking about things in a whole another light? You know what I mean? Based off of what the meaning of the word is. And so as opposed to saying 13, I might say knowledge, understanding. And then you sit there thinking about what knowledge is and what understanding is. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But at the same time, if I go 31, that's understanding. That would be understanding knowledge. And that would be, you can't put your understanding before your knowledge. So that would be, so in that case, that would be something you couldn't, you know, that's, you wind up messing up. Because you understand what I'm saying? Because you can't understand something before you know it.
Mm-hmm. So, and under this theory, because I'm going with you here. So under that, a 31 would be a problematic number, especially trying to be accomplished by a 4. Now this is just me going along with you. I'm doing the whole exploration thing.
Right. Right. And 4 is culture and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so you try to get the 4, but you're going the wrong direction to get the 4. That's how that would be looked at.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Interesting. All right, that's what's up. Yeah,
I'm not saying 31 is a bad number, but I'm just meaning like
if you use your keywords for the numbers that you have and you arrange them in different orders, it looks weird. Like, how can you have this before that? But that's what the number is. So then you have to go, okay, well, this may not be the best number.
Yeah,
I get you. I totally. It's sort of like in astrology, we were doing it a few weeks ago about knowing your keywords for the signs. And when you use the keywords instead of the sign names, it actually unlocks the essence of what those signs are there to do. And some keywords look weird because they don't necessarily work together, but they're there. So you got to make it do what it do. So, yeah. That's interesting. All right. Well, thanks for that. I really appreciate that. That's cool. I actually would want to look at some of their definitions for the base numbers 1 through 9. I would love to see that, to see what keywords they use for it. That's interesting.
I have a question or comment. Go ahead.
Okay.
I can give you the words for you know, 1 through 9 and 0.
All right, hold on. So let me take the question first, and then we can do the 1 through 9, and I'd be interesting to hear about it. What's the question, ma'am? What's going on?
Okay, so I read before or researched a few years ago that the birth date, like your actual birth date, like mine is on the 18th, that if it's on the 18th, that you are, instead of my life path number just being an 8, I'm a 9-8. Instead of it being like a 4-4-8, I mean, rather. And so, have you heard of that method before? Just a birth date to get like the sub number?
Yes, your birth date number is, they have different names for it. Sometimes they call it your gift number. Sometimes they call it your spirit number. Sometimes they call it your intuitive number. You can think of it kind of like the moon. It's kind of like the self inside the self. Because the life path number is the path that you're on. That's the number you have to master. You haven't necessarily mastered that life path yet. But your birth date number is the essence of who you are. There's whole books written on the birth date without using the year. And it's because that birth date number is the essence, your gift, your spirit, your intuition. And so that number seeks to be expressed because that's the inner you. But if you have a life path that isn't necessarily congruent with your birth date number, spirit number, whatever, then you may experience tension between what's going on around you and what people want from you versus how you want to be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So would you look at it as 44-8 if that's my entire, you know, my life path number in its entirety? Or would you look at it as a 9 with a life path 8?
All of it. I would look at it as you're a 44-8 life path. That is the life path you're on. That's the life path you need to master. You need to master what the 44-8 represents. That doesn't necessarily mean you have it down yet. That's the path you're on. Like the road in front of you as you get into your car. The essence of you, which is that 9, that 9 has to find expression through your life path. So okay. It's the 9. In essence, your inside, the inner you is really the 9. And, you know, the humanitarian, the this, the that. But that 9 has to be able to get its message through the 844.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So this is why sometimes I saw a number chart that their birth date number equal to 1, but they were a life path 4, and they were having a lot of challenges because they were facing restrictions in life and people putting responsibilities on them, you know, kind of that 4 path of being organized. People expected them to be the organized one, but they're inside, they're a 1. And so they want to break free from all that control and go out on their own. They're tired of having to hold back their anger. A lot of people that can't express their 1 from their birth date and their life path is incompatible. Some of them have problems like that, or some of them have problems with their father because 1 is masculinity. And if you can't express that part because of your life path number giving you a harder time, that's where you're going to see some of the tension. And so if you look at your birth date number, which is you on the inside, how does that jive with the road you're on, your life path? So, yeah, I know it gets complex, but it's supposed to because we're individuals. Any other questions before we go to the 5% of definitions of the numbers?
This is Linda. I have a question.
Yes.
Okay. So listening to everything, I have come up with that I'm a 33-6 for my life path. And the gift, spirit, intuitive number is a 7. Um, And my attitude number is a one. Yeah, okay.
You leader,
So,
you.
huh?
You leader, you.
Me.
Yeah. You have it in you. Even if you don't feel like one, you said that your attitude number is a one.
My attitude is a one, but the gift one that you were just talking about when she was talking about the day, that would be a seven for me, but my life path is a 33 six.
Yes.
Okay, so what is that saying?
Wow. You
I'm
know,
just figuring out everything as y'all are talking.
that's fine. That's cool. Just so let's this is cool. We can do thing on top of thing here, just to keep it simple. So
Okay.
we know that the six, that's the life path you're on, and you're a 33 six. So I'm this is first of all, this is a very dominant like family energy here. This is mother hen energy here. Like I run the household and I want to make a family and I believe in work and balance and things like that. And then the 33 as that, as more of that creative flair to you. You've got that ability to be able to teach people values and morals and things. But also, like I was saying earlier, I think sixes are great musicians, and now you got that double 33 on your path along with that. And so I would definitely wonder if artistic ventures, music, songwriting, all those kinds of things, I would wonder if that plays a factor in your life. And then looking at your essence, really your birth date number being a seven. Now that also is spirituality. That is, you could be a bit of an introvert too at times. Being a bit of an introvert, connected to spirituality, very logical and scientific. You know, needs some space to themselves. So I mean, all that combined, that's very interesting. Now, your attitude number is one. So even if you don't always feel like you're being assertive, other people may receive you that way. Even if you're feeling introverted, other people may not think you are. Because the one is kind of some of the energy that people get off of you, but it's not necessarily how you feel on the inside. You know? So, yeah. So just in general, you know, just keep it simple. Those are the things that come to my mind just kind of off the top.
Yeah, I don't think I'm introverted at all. I'm extremely extroverted. I've always been called like a social butterfly. I see me more with the one because I do come across that way. But I, when you said like dominant family or like mother hen, I kind of see that too because I do take charge or control. And then when you said teach values and stuff, I do teach. I in any situation, I always try to teach a lesson so people can get understand what they should get out of that. But then there's my, you know, it's probably my perception on what they should take out of it. Not necessarily, it might not be 100% accurate, but it's what I see and normally I voice it. So I'm seeing everything but the seven. That's the only thing I'm not seeing.
No, I understand that. I think, well, first of all, 33 is called the master teacher. So yeah, that's every master number has their little keyword or whatever. But and so 33 is like the master teacher. And so yeah, so you would be teaching values, you would be exhibiting values, you would be sharing that, and you're saying, oh, well, I teach what I think you should know. Yeah, that's a six and a one. I know best. I'm gonna teach you what I think you should know. Yeah.
And I do at work too. I have some coworkers that say, "You are not my mama. You not. You can't tell me what to do."
Yeah. And I can see how you probably would be, you probably wouldn't under wouldn't sit with the you wouldn't identify a lot with some of the seven energy because you got that six and one. You know what I mean? Because you know, it's the six, the responsibility, the mother, the looking over ones who you take to taking care of people. Then it's that one, like, you know, I'm the leader here. I know what's going on. If no one can do it like I can, give me that piece. Let me do this. You know?
That is me. That is me.
Yeah. Was it a Linda Knows Best? Is that we gonna have a new show?
Basically, they be like, Linda, listen, Linda, listen, Linda. So,
yeah.
Okay, no, that was good because everybody was coming up and throwing out different things. So I was trying to figure out my numbers, but then I'm like, I don't know how all of these jive together. So that helped.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to me, I mean, maybe a different numerologist would look at it differently. Maybe if Soul Coach was here, he would say something different because he likes to focus on the birth date number. Okay. I know Lloyd Strahan loves that too. But to me, when I look at those three numbers together, the 633, the 7, and the 1, I look for what energies are, what are those numbers and what is the dominant theme out of those three numbers? Because all of them play a role. So if the 6 and the 1 are running around telling people what to do and mommy knows best, you might not necessarily feel that 7, even though the 7 is the birth date.
Gotcha.
You know, and I know it sounds a little bit like, isn't 7 the birthday? Isn't that supposed to be? Well, yeah, but you have other energies. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. So if you're already, if the 6 and the 1 are already, you know, there, it doesn't surprise me that you don't resonate with 7.
Okay.
That would be my opinion. Maybe a different numerologist will say something different about the 7.
Okay. Yeah, because the numbers were all, because I know you kept saying, do they get along, so to speak?
Yeah.
And so I was trying to figure out on my own. And I was like, no, I can't.
Yeah, 6 and 7 don't get along anyway. So, not that 1 and 6 are a vacation. It's just that some of their qualities can be expressed in the same way. The whole take charge thing.
Gotcha. You know,
I think that's what comes out. I think the 7, because the 1 is, you know, because the 1 is more prone to leadership and having new ideas, the 7 is intellectual and scientific. And so I think that all those things may blend into each other. So maybe you may not feel the introvertedness of the 7, but maybe the 7 is also feeding into your intellect and your sense and your scientific mind.
Now that I see. That I do see.
7 is very scientific. They like science. They want to get into the facts and the science, and this does that. Like, it's very, and you know, the spiritual too, but that spirituality also comes with science, how things work.
That is me. And even in the spirituality, I need the logic behind it. And I will debate anything, anywhere, anytime. So,
And so I can see that because that is a 7 thing and you're just not feeling like you're an introvert. But the reason why I said, even if you feel you're an introvert, I didn't necessarily say you were. I said, because the reason why I said, because the attitude numbers sometimes can give a false impression. So sometimes people can come across, you know, dominant, but they're really not. It's sort of like your ascendant sign in astrology.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said that. But if you're not an introvert, you're not an introvert. So, you know.
No, this was good though. It was good. I needed that. So thank you, Dennis.
No problem. Thanks. I see you here a lot. I appreciate you coming in and listening and partaking. I really appreciate that.
No, this room is so informative and I just wish more people could get in here to hear it because it's really informative.
Thank you very much. And yeah, we record it too, so it'll be on the profile of my profile, and it'll be on the website coreconfidencelife.com. So that's cool. Cool stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. All right. So are you still there with the 5% of keywords? Well, maybe he bounced.
Oh, I'm still there.
All right. We thought you left. Or maybe I thought you left. I don't know what I thought. All right. So you want to go quickly through what are the keywords from, like, I guess 0 to 9 or 1 to 0, however you want to take it, how they define it. You don't have to go on forever and ever. I just like kind of want one or two keywords to give me kind of a feel of what's going on.
All right. No problem. Now, I'm not no 5% or nothing like that. I just helped my man, you know, help my man study. And as a result, I wound up, you know, memorizing the stuff. Because, you know, one of their things was you had to have all the information memorized so you can, you know, be able to break it down to somebody else. But with that being said, you know, I'm no expert on it. I'm just telling you what I know. So one is knowledge, you know, that'd be the foundation of all things. You know what I mean? So I know you heard a lot of people say know the ledge, you know. So if you know what the ledge is, you won't fall over it. Two would be wisdom. So that's the manifestation of your knowledge. You know, you want your ways and your actions. It's also symbolic of the woman, as knowledge would be symbolic of the man or the son. So two, which is wisdom, would be symbolic of the woman, the moon, or earth. And you have three, is understanding. That's the best part. It was, as you know, as I was taught, you know, knowledge and wisdom together give you understanding. And symbolically, that's your child. So man, one being the man, two being woman, man and woman together, you get child. Knowledge, wisdom will give you understanding. Four would be culture freedom. You know, and since 5%, that's an offshoot, but it's based off of Islam. So the culture will be I self, law, and master. That's the culture you will leave. And freedom, you know, freedom part is just, you know, you're freeing your dome. You're freeing your mind from, you know, from all the, you know, the nonsense. Five is power and refinement. Power is defined as truth, and truth is the light. And to refine, it means you make something pure. So if you have power, you refine something to make it pure. Six is equality. So, you want to be equal in all things, such as, you know, you want to have equal knowledge, equal wisdom, equal understanding. One, two, three, and all that add up to six. Seven is, will be God. You know, that's one who possesses the power to build and destroy. Eight is build and destroy. So basically that's to add on, to elevate from the foundation forever where you started from your existence. But in order to build, you got to destroy. So you can't build nothing without first destroying what you're building on. Nine is born. So that's basically just to be or exist. You know, they say you're born twice. So you're born from your mother's womb. And then once you learn the mathematics, you're born again, you know, cause to a higher degree, you got to gain a little bit more knowledge. And then, zero would be cipher. And that's 360 degrees. So that'll be 360 degrees of knowledge, 120 degrees of knowledge, 120 degrees of wisdom. And 120 degrees of understanding, that'll give you 360 degrees. So from you go from knowledge to understanding back to knowledge. So that's it. One through nine and zero.
Wow. You know what? I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. And you just confirmed what I thought last night. It's the same thing. And were you here at the beginning of the room?
I'm not sure, but I came in around maybe around 3:45 or so.
Okay, cool. The reason why I'm asking you that is because in the beginning of the room, I went through the numbers 0 through 9. I went through the, and I said almost some of the exact same things. If you don't believe me, you can hear the replay. I talked about the one being the father, the two being the mother, the three being the child. I talked about one being the primary masculine energy, two being the primary feminine, three being the primary child energy. I almost said the same exact words you said. And it's proof because it's on the recording. So, and as you're going through the rest of the numbers, it like, yeah, this all matches. And then 7, 8, and 9 in numerology, which obviously apparently is the same thing as this, is on the spiritual level. In fact, 9, you're saying 9 is just being. 9 is so holy They considered nine holy. You said this after you've gotten all the knowledge from one to eight. You then you're nine. In the Chaldean tradition, they didn't even use nine because they thought it was so holy. They only used it when something added up to it. But when looking at like your name, they didn't use nine. They only used one through eight. And so nine everywhere is holy. Nine is transcendence. You know, it is. It just is because, you know, for you, it's born. It is. So that's deep. But seven is God.
Yeah.
That's deep. And eight. Yeah, I know I'm going through it here. Eight in numerology, obviously, it represents Capricorn. It represents Saturn. It represents building things of a material nature. And to me, that resonates with what you said. You have to destroy something to build something. So eight is destroy and build. In numerology, eight has that spiritual material duality because of the two circles on the eight, the spiritual and the material. And for you, right. it's the building and the destroying, which happens simultaneously.
Right.
When you're building something, yeah, you're simultaneously destroying it. Something else. So, yeah. Thanks, sir. That's exactly what I suspected. Wow. That's dope.
Yeah. And you gave me the key to understanding the astrology and the other stuff. I just got to learn the other key words. I you know what I mean? All I know is, you know, Jupiter and Mars and ascendants and this, that, but I don't know none of the other, you know, no, really have no keywords, you know, to link to it so I can get some kind of real understanding.
Yeah. And then there's simple keywords like the numbers you gave me. Those are just simple concepts. If you look through the signs in astrology, they're just kind of simple concepts. So, for example, Taurus's keyword is I have. And that's there to represent the concept of having, because Taurus conserves everything they have. They're about money and finances. They're about security. I have everything is a possession. And so you can look deeper into like the levels of Taurian behavior. If you look at the concept of I have and ownership and property, things like that, you know, you look at Leo with the keyword I will. What does the word will is? Leo is the will center. So I will do what? Well, anything. I will show my talents. I will express myself. I will create. I will have sex. I will. So, you know, each keyword will give you a deeper idea on what each sign there is. I did a room on that, planet signs and keywords and stuff. So, yeah, you can find that on the replays. I think it's on my room replays on my profile, and it's also on the website. But, yeah, cool. That's what's up. All right. Does anyone have any more comments or questions? This is really cool. All right. See, what else did I want to touch on other than the double digit numbers? Yes. I'll talk a tiny bit about angel numbers. We're going to come to an end here a little bit, but I know one of the most frequently asked questions is these numbers that pop up for people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. And numbers like your birthday and things like that. So quickly, a lot of these numbers are mean the same thing or close to the same thing as they do when they show up in your chart. So for example, 2, 2, 2, 2. First of all, it depends on how many twos, because every multiple digit number serves the base number that it is. So if you saw 2, 2, 2, it's really a 6, but it's a 6 through 2, 2, 2. And so 2 is the moon, it's intuition. And people with life path twos have to learn how to follow their intuition. People with attitude twos seem to have their intuition integrated already. And so when you see 2, 2, 2 around or a bunch of twos around all the time, that's giving you messages about listen to your intuition. Be patient. 2 is a patient number because it's about balance. And so when you see a bunch of twos around, that's telling you things around being patient or listen to your intuition. If you see a lot of ones around, like 111 or 1111, 1111, again, all these things are serving the base number. But ones mean you're moving in the right direction. Ones are getting it started. Ones are initiatory, getting it started, moving it forward, being the leader. So you see 1111111111 all the time. You're probably doing the right thing, going in the right direction, similar to 1234. 1234. 1234 is 10. And 10 is 1. So you're moving in the right direction when you keep seeing 1234. Some people even make a wish on 1234 when they see it on the clock. So, you know, there's that. 3333 is said to be an angel number when you see it, like listening to your angels, getting to recognize that you have angels around you and Christ. The three is the three is that Christ number. It's got that that Trinity thing going on. So so the numbers kind of mean the same things when you see them in repeating form or angel form as you do in your chart. So two is intuition in your chart. Two, lots of twos around you. Follow your intuition. Be patient. Threes are lucky in your chart. Threes seek higher spiritual knowledge. You see threes around you. It's telling you about your angels. It's telling you about, yo, you got angels, or however you want to see it, Christ on your side. Keep, you know, stay in touch. Because remember, three is about seeking spiritual knowledge, you know, understanding, as we heard in the 5% of definition. And so threes around you is telling you to, hey, pay attention, yo. Start to understand things. Your angels are talking to you. So there's a whole book. I got to get the book title next time. There's a whole book that has all these angel numbers in it. It kind of I love it. But anyway, so that kind of gives you it. We'll do another room on angel numbers and numbers that kind of pop up. Let's see. What else did I want to mention? Any questions on that?
This is Linda. I always see 333, not the four threes, but just 33s on the clock. I mean, anywhere. So is that the same as the four threes, since there's only 33s?
Actually, you know, 33s is 9, the number of transcendence, you know, and it's the 9 working itself through those 33s. And when you see 33s in the form, but when you see threes, that represents spiritual knowledge, understanding, Christ number, angel number, all those things, depending on what kind of words you want to use for spiritual guides. So the number of threes itself doesn't alter the angel Christ connotations, but it may be giving you a different underlying message depending on what it comes down to. So if you're seeing three threes, it's a 9. And so what is that telling you? 9 is going to be spirituality and transcendence and letting go. So maybe all these messages you're being sent, it could be interpreted as, you know, letting go, allowing your angels to guide you, letting certain material aspects of life go, and allowing God, Spirit, Christ to guide you. And if you continuously see that, maybe that tells me that you have a strong religious belief or strong spiritual connection.
Okay. That part is true. Yeah, that was from that 7 too.
Yes.
That part was true.
Yeah, 7 can be very religious. So, yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you again.
No problem. No problem. Yeah, I'm going to do another one on angel numbers when I'm better able to move through all, because there's a bunch of numbers, because you see 1234, you see the repeating numbers, you see your birthday numbers a lot. So we'll talk about angel numbers and lucky numbers. Some people want to talk about lucky numbers. So that's cool. All right. So are there any questions or comments about anything that we spoke about today? Okay. All right. So just to recap, I guess refresh the room, I suppose. This is Core Confidence Lifestyle. You can hit the website up at coreconfidencelife.com. At the top of the page, we are here every week, doing numerology, astrology, and self-discovery. Customarily, at least for now, astrology is on Mondays, numerology is on Thursdays, and we welcome donations, $17. You can find that stuff in the profile under donations, under my profile. You can also find donation methods on the website. If you want a full reading, you can book one. You can send me a back channel on Instagram, or you can go to the website and click on book an appointment. All right. All that and more. So what are we talking about on Monday? Monday is going to be an exclusive class that will only be available to members of the website. Although if you're here on Monday, you'll be getting it for free because you're here on Monday. We'll be talking about the ancient rulers of the deacons. A few weeks ago, I did the modern rulers of the deacons, and that's fine. But now we're going to do the ancient, traditional Chaldean rulers of the astrological deacons. And so if you're here, good. But the replay will only be available to members of Core Confidence Life. You can also join the mailing list at coreconfidencelife.com to get articles about numerology, astrology, and self-discovery. Go right there on the front page, your name and email, and presto, you get a special welcome package, and you get to hear from me more times than this time.